whatever.
Yeah, my name's, I'm Tom Washington.
Tom Washington?
Yeah.
And you're listening to the Fatitude Era.
Fatitude Era is what I'm listening at?
Yeah, you're listening to the Fatitude Era. Just say it.
Oh, I did it already. Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right.
Welcome back to the one, the only Fatitude Era. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith, joined by my lovely co-host,
El Jordano Diablo,
and the computer, the man, the professor, the one, the only, Dr. Dewey Dynamite. Say hello.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. I am here. I have my amazing girlfriend by my side and two idiots that I do a podcast with. It's pretty awesome.
Who else is here?
All right, so moving on, we're going to do something a little bit different. We have been gone for a couple weeks for personal reasons, so we're not going to do current main events.
Death and sickness.
Yeah.
These are real things.
Yeah, but don't worry, we'll get into that when we get to the top 10 list.
Well, the other one follows the other, so I should have said sickness and death.
Yeah, but we do want to do a little bit of a special episode today. So what we're planning on doing is, you know, something a little more, segment oriented, so I'm into that, and then we won't be doing a full on topic discussion per se, and we won't be covering current main events other than this right here.
Current main events.
What do you guys think about what's going on? Is it good? Is it bad?
I mean, in regards to what, there's a lot going on.
All right, let's start. Let's run it off real quick. AEW,
they're doing great. I mean, yeah. In my opinion, they maybe just put out their best episode yet. The Cleveland episode was fire. The dark matches were all good. Everything's been good. Except, I mean, the only thing I could complain about is they're still navigating the women's division, but to see Nyla Rose beat Riho, I think, was a step in the right direction.
All right. What about you, Drew? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's just all kinds of, like, crazy-ass shit mainly going on in WWE, of course. You got the, you know, super showdown coming
next
up.
Next.
All right.
According to the dirt sheets here, you know, all kinds of crazy what-ifs for the main event for WrestleMania. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to tell because, you know, most of the time it's just rumors.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, rumors can be fun.
I mean, everybody thought Roman Reigns was going to win the Royal Rumble, and he didn't. So.
Yeah, that was one thing I do want to cover. The Royal Rumble's finish with Drew McIntyre.
The Royal Rumble in general was a really good show.
Yeah, one of the best in years, for
I mean,
sure.
I was talking to Shear about it that night. And he had texted me right after the Women's Rumble, and he was like, dude, I think that was one of the best Rumbles I've ever seen. I said, if not, it's up there with 92 and 2008. Mm-hmm. And he went back and watched 2008 that night, and he was like, I think the women's one was better. And it was. It was fucking awesome, because I remember the first year they did it, it was very choppy but understandable because it was the first time they ever did it. Last year, it smoked the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Men's Royal Rumble was really good this year, but for different reasons.
Well, yeah, and not to mention that, like I said, Drew McIntyre going over for the whole thing was
really
great.
Dude, when he eliminated
great.
Brock, that place went ballistic.
Yeah,
it was
and
awesome.
And even Brock did well in the match. He really did, because it was like, it wasn't, I didn't watch the Royal Rumble match and sit there and just was bored the way that I am usually when I watch Brock Lesnar. Because Brock Lesnar, you know, he's very much a three-move guy. But at the same time, he made it work really well in this one. Like, yeah, he was still doing suplexes and stuff like that because, you know, that's what he
does. That's his shtick, man.
But, like, All in all, it was just all together a wonderful package.
Yeah.
Like I feel like someone's going to cut that one sound effect of just a wonderful package. And
I the way they booked Brock coming out first and just kind of rolling through everybody for the most part, you know, a couple hiccups there and there with them, there and here with them, here and there, whatever. But the way they did it was, it was good because, like, Chelsea, my fiance, who's been a fan for like 3 years now, she was, you know, by the 10th guy he eliminated, she was like, okay, this is getting boring. I was like, wait for it. They're telling a story.
Yeah.
Let them tell the story. And then they did. And it turned out fucking fantastic. Not to mention Edge almost crying when he came out, because that was the loudest pop I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, you know, of course I'm worried about the guy.
Sure.
Because, you know, he did retire for a pretty serious reason.
Yeah.
But it felt pretty good to see him come through. I mean, when that buzzer went off and you just hear that, you think you know me. I mean,
dude,
it was
the place. I mean, because like I'm a huge mark for like good pops.
Yeah.
And that was so fucking awesome. I felt so good for him. So good. And to backtrack a little bit, how about fucking Beth fucking Phoenix, dude?
Yeah.
The whole time in that match after, because she got her head cut really quick into the match.
Yeah.
I'm like, why the fuck haven't they pulled her out? Why haven't they switched gears? And then at the end of the match, I was like, oh, because she was an integral part to the end of the fucking Rumble.
Yeah.
She couldn't, but she's a badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all in all, it was definitely one of the best Rumbles in years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Mania, believe it or not.
Yeah, it should be good. I think, even though I'm not going to watch Super Showdown, because I think booking Goldberg versus The Fiend is one of the stupidest decisions they've made in a while.
Yeah,
and
no one's going to win with that.
No.
Like it's just going to be like, it's going to come out, because if Bray loses, then, you know, it's going to be whatever. But if he does win, then it's not really that big of a thing, because Goldberg,
I don't know, though. 60,000 Saudis cheering for a Jew sounds pretty awesome. that's pretty cool. But yeah, nobody really wins. And same thing with if they go forward with, which I don't think they're going to do, The Fiend versus Roman Reigns. I honestly rather see Roman Reigns versus Goldberg at Mania than Roman Reigns versus The Fiend at WrestleMania, because The Fiend can't lose. He shouldn't lose for at least like 2 fucking years. And if he does, it should be like a DQ or he walks out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I think we're going to get some major surprises at Mania, but I'm not like, I'm trying my best these days to not put a whole lot of stock into what WWE's doing.
That's understandable. It keeps you from being too disappointed.
Right.
But
right.
But either way, I think we're gearing up to a pretty okay WrestleMania. It'll definitely be better than 32.
Well, and that's the thing, is like this is that time of year. I think we might have mentioned on the last podcast, this is when things start to ramp up and be like, oh, this could be really cool.
Yeah, the road to WrestleMania has always been like that time. I mean, you know, because even going back to like Attitude Era, you know what I mean? Austin going coast to coast in the Rumble, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That right there set the tone for that road to WrestleMania, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, even the, that was when he... Was that the one where then he went on to face Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That I've been trying to go back and watch a few of the rumbles that I really, really enjoy. I started on the older ones, but the one where Vince and Austin started it off, and then they jump Austin. That is I don't really like that rumble.
It is what it is.
It was very Vince Russo.
Yeah.
And like I just couldn't.
Well, it was 99.
There you go. That explains it.
Yeah. I mean, and I fucking hate that guy. So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. WWE, I mean, there's much bigger things on the horizon with AEW right now. I'm very, very excited to see what they're going to do, which actually brings me to a first question that somebody had asked for us to talk about.
Yeah, and keep in mind this, that we're going to pepper these throughout the episode, but But yeah, we did get some listener questions. So,
where was the one I was going to talk about? Some of these are funny. Some of these are on point. Friend of the show, Chris Clem, asked, what about them putting the belt on Moxley at Revolution? Do you think they're going to do it? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea?
Me personally, I don't think he should win it.
No?
No, because I'm telling you why. I think, you know, because remember how long it took for Sting to win it off of Hogan?
Yeah.
Since they're doing an NWO thing, basically, where, you know, where it's like Moxley versus, you know, Jericho, I think they should follow that example and have it literally just be a grind for him to get that belt. I think if you give it to him now, it's too early.
I totally agree with you on that, because it's like, you look, Moxley, he hasn't even hit, lost yet, right?
No.
What if that's his first loss? I mean, yeah, that would be huge.
And that's the thing, is I don't think it should be. I think that they have built him up so strong that, I don't know, Drew, go ahead and continue what you were going to say.
Well, yeah, I was going to just continue to say, because Jericho has taken his first loss.
Yeah, I mean, in like the tag matches and shit, yeah. I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's going to happen. And the reason I think it's going to happen is Jericho still has Fozzy.
Yeah.
And Fozzy is going on tour in April and May. So people have made the argument to me that he could still fly out on Wednesdays, which he absolutely could. I think that you could have him drop the belt to Moxley and then have a rubber match at Double or Nothing. And then have Jericho put over Moxley even bigger.
Okay.
And so that it would, because, you know, Double or Nothing and All Out, All In, whatever you want to call it, those are their major pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The, like, I mean, realistically, you know, there's already another Double or Nothing planned. So.
Yeah, they announced it. So I think the belt's going to change. If it doesn't, I'm curious to see how they do it.
Yeah.
Like how, because it's just funny. Like, people cheer Jericho. You know, we were both at the Cleveland show. Mm-hmm. You know, people cheer Jericho no matter where he goes, whether he's a heel and says Cleveland's stupid or not, he's fucking Jericho.
Right.
Yeah. People are going to cheer him. They'll boo him too, because he's good at getting heat. He can get heat just by looking at people. But I think that people are so behind Moxley right now that it might be the time. And the other thing is it's not like, and Adam Page will have that belt at some point or another. Jericho is not the guy to drop it to him.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is I just don't think Page is ready. I think Page will be ready after this feud with Kenny Omega that is inevitably on its way.
Right.
Okay. I can respect that. I think that's some definite insight. And you said that question came from Chris Clem.
Chris Clem, he also asked the Cody no title stipulation. Do you think this? You know, this is Chris's question. Do you think that it was a mistake, or is his current angle hot enough that it doesn't matter?
I definitely think it's hot enough where it doesn't matter.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's like literally title or no title, he's still Cody fucking Rhodes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And the way I kind of view this, the whole Cody, you know, not being able to challenge for the title, is I thought about this when he first announced that, is that he could easily let's say Moxley wins a belt,
mm-hmm.
or anybody, but let's just use Moxley and Moxley's a good guy. He's a tweener, but he's a good guy. He's in Austin, you know, and I could see Moxley being like, hey, you know what? You said you'd never challenge for the belt again, but I'm offering you a shot at the belt.
Okay.
And I think, cause there's no way that Cody's never going to wear that belt. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I mean, it's his birthright.
That's my personal thoughts on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely some interesting thoughts. And you Drew, you said you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I do think, like, going back, I think the MJF and Cody angle is the hottest thing in wrestling right now. Those 10 lashes were brutal.
Yeah.
That was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And definitely. I got emotional, like, when fucking Brandy came down, and you could tell, because, like, if you watch, whether it's kayfabe, not whatever, like you watch your significant other, the person you wake up to next to every day, getting legitimately whipped in the middle of the ring on live TV, there's no way that's not going to make you emotional.
Well, and not only that, but, it takes you right back to, Dreamer and Sandman, when Sandman came Dreamer.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first times that Dreamer got over. Now, granted, Cody doesn't need that, but I'm just saying, there's emotions will hit high during moments like that. And if
it makes
anybody,
the feud mean that much more.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but like if it's a situation of like if it isn't already apparent that, Cody is the guy to get behind. You know what I mean?
He's top babyface of the company.
But that's what I'm saying. If there's any detractors, they have to be shut up by that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Literally, like you, this dude literally took his lashes for the company. You know what I mean? He's willing to put his body on the line more so than your typical wrestler does.
Yeah.
And to me, that's something to be commended.
At 100%. I mean, like, he comes from the school of his father, and his father knew how to get people behind him.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at his, bouts with Flair where they end it covered in blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, literally, like, Cody was raised to put on a show that inspires an emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what emotion that is, whether it's, happiness, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, what have you, he's always been taught, make them care. You know what I mean?
And I hate saying this because it makes me agree in some sense with a lot of people that I don't agree with, but everybody knows I'm a huge Young Bucks mark. I'm a huge fucking Kenny Omega mark. But without Cody Rhodes, AEW would not prosper.
Agreed.
And I mean, sure, Tony Khan could throw all the money he wants to in the world at it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Cody's the one making those right decisions. And I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. At All In, Cody's match was placed directly in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
Want to know why? Because he knew that somebody was going to fucking run late and he wanted to get his shit in. And that was brilliant on his part.
I agree. I definitely agree. But yeah, thank you very much to Chris Clem for sending those questions. Check him out. Friend of the show. Check him out.
He's got his own podcast.
Yeah, in which he covers the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, also known as the C4 Cast.
Is it C4 Pod?
Yeah, C4 Pod on Twitter, I think.
You can follow him at Chris _ Clem, CLEM. And then, C4 Pod. That's for all your Cleveland Cavaliers. Basically, what we do, but for the Cavs.
Yeah.
And his is a lot shorter.
Yeah. And not only that, but also, he does comedy as well. He's out in L.A.
He's
now,
out in L.A. He's getting acting gigs from what I understand. I talk to Chris probably once a week. He's a good friend of mine. He will absolutely be on this show in the future.
Yeah.
He writes a lot for WrestleVoid. He has written for WrestleVoid before. I actually got to send him out his copy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was, we got some questions and we got more, but let's move on to something else for a sec.
All right, it is time for the one and only Top 10 List. Woo!
You can't do me. You can't be me. I'll make all the girls scream, especially that fat one right there. Why did he pick her?
Right.
Of course she would smile if he kissed her.
Right. All right. So it is another top 10 better reasons to have a break.
Of course.
This top 10 list is brought to you by the folks over at Counting Worm Shop, your one-stop shop for oddity artwork and jewelry. They have amazing stuff for amazingly fair prices. All stuff involving mummies, bones, eyeballs, everything. It's all fantastic. And you can check them out at Etsy.com/shop/countingwormshop, on Facebook, Counting Worm Shop, or hit them up with a custom art commission request at countingwormshop@gmail.com. If you want to see them in person, check out Oddities and Curiosities Expo, July 18th in Detroit, Michigan, and May 9th in the one and the only Columbus, Ohio, Oddities and Curiosities Expo. If you can't make it out to that one, May 2nd and 3rd, just announced they are going to be vending the one and only Odd Mall in Akron, Ohio. It's going to be a big show. They got plenty of stuff to sell. Definitely check them out. Come meet me. I'll probably be there. You never know.
Signing copies of Russell Boyd.
Though. Exactly. It's going to be a bonus booth. Yeah. We've already talked to the festival
organizer. Called the porta potty.
Yeah, exactly. From the porta potty in the middle of the floor.
Hey, man, this is the Philly fan. I'm signing copies of Russell Boyd.
Haggard ass. All right. So another top 10 better reasons to go on a break. Are you ready, folks?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Number 10.
I'm winded. Right. Reason number 11. I'm winded.
Number 10. Drew got a concussion, so he had to spend 2 weeks in physical therapy, like in Regarding Henry.
What are you talking? They just plugged him into a mainframe. What are you talking about?
Like, look at you. Walking like a natural man.
Drew got the blue screen of death, and we had to fix him.
Right. All right, number 9. The Philly fan hit us up for bail money, so we couldn't afford the gas to meet up and record.
Did he need $23?
Yeah. All right.
That was an ECW joke for anybody else.
Right, for anybody else out there. All right, number 8. Ty the Gatherer hit us up and made us stand in line for tickets to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I will, again, only go if it's free. And I will say it again on this podcast. If somebody can get me into the Gathering of the Juggalos for free, I will go, and I will film it, and it will be awesome, but I'm not paying to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Counting Worms is actually trying to vend the Gathering of the Juggalos, so that should be pretty fun.
Whoop, whoop.
Hopefully that means I can get in for free and I'll film it.
I'm surprised you don't have tickets already.
Right? The inner whoop whoop. The towel of whoop whoop.
The inner womb womb. That's when you have a kid.
Right. All right. Number 7. Hordano got lost in the Bermuda Triangle after he heard there was a Michael Hayes figure there.
Accurate. So far, that's my favorite one.
All right, number 6, AEW came to Cleveland, so we had no voices from cheering so loudly. How dead was your voice after?
Oh, it was dead. Yeah. It was dead when Chris Jericho came out at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, if you ever want to hear what Hordano sounds like with no voice, go back and listen to the Second Shot episode about wrestling. It was right after they filmed stuff for Powerbomb.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Hordano sounds like this throughout the whole episode.
BJ texted me after that episode aired, and she was like, dude, I'm so sorry I did that to your voice. I'm like, you're welcome for a good movie.
Right. All right, number 5. Jess went on hunger strike and then went insane from not eating after 10 minutes.
I was waiting for it. I was like, all right, what's the time frame here? Right. You live up the street from a Taco Bell. Right. You're never going hungry.
Right. All right, number 4. We saw Hogan's sex tape and we're too traumatized to leave the house.
I'm just... I don't that hot dog fucker.
All right, number
3. It's like a pack of Hebrew Nationals fucked Nathan's.
What the fuck? That's terrible.
Good hot dogs, at least.
All right, time to piss.
Fine, it was Oscar Mayer and whatever Aldi's fucking brand is.
All right. Number 3, we killed Snooka's wife and blamed it on his dementia and then did 2 weeks in county.
Before it registered that you said Snooka, I heard Snooki and I was like, she's a lesbian now?
What? Oh,
she's man. Still alive?
I don't know.
Snooka's not. Neither is the lady he killed.
Very true. All right. Number 2. We had to deal with protesters after the Benoit joke on the last episode.
You want to know what the protester of that was? What? That fucking autistic girl who was like screaming when Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Not the little environmentalist girl, the one that was like sitting there cross-legged right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They need to start making. Remember the intervention show, the black dude who was.
Yeah, the best cry ever.
The best cry ever. Yeah. They need to do that more with her.
Right.
That man, like, because nothing will top the Rain in Blood one. Right. That guy, it was perfect.
Yeah. Alrighty, and the number 1. Number 1 reason is that Drew said he wouldn't record until we promised we would never call his mom on the podcast. What he doesn't know is that we crossed our fingers. And that has been this week's Top 10 List, brought to you by Counting Worm Shop. Once again, Etsy.com/shop/CountingWormShop, on Facebook, Counting Worm Shop, or on email, CountingWormShop@gmail.com. And we are going to be right back on this episode of the Fatitude Era.
Sup, bro? Are you sick of seeing all these crates, but there's not really one that just caters to you? The one that features the best Drakkar Noir and UFC DVDs? One that gives you a free tap-out shirt every month? One that, if you pay just a little extra each month, you'll get a 10-pack of roofies for those dollar well nights at the bar? Well, then I've got the solution for you. It's Douche Crate!
Fosco presents Douche Crate, the only monthly subscription service for the everyman's douche. We all were frat bros in college. We all want that monthly subscription service, so let's get a Douche Crate, bro. You can't be chilling at the gym with a regular loot crate. That shit's for nerds. We ain't no fucking nerds, bro. World of Warcraft? Bitch, please. I'm talking World of Teabagging and COD. Halo 3? More like Jim Tan and Laundry. Fantastic Four? More like your mom's a whore. Order Falsco's new Douche Crate today. One nation under douche, indivisible with liberty and justice for bros.
I have all this information about pro wrestling, and yet I know it's coming from a biased source that's probably paid off by WWE. God damn it. Where am I supposed to go to get non-biased information?
Have you tried WrestleVoid? That's right, wrestling fans. If you're sick of the same biased bullshit that is clearly paid off by the big suits of pro wrestling corporate business, check out WrestleVoid, a corn-fed wrestling zine. Each quarter, you can pick up top-notch articles detailing AIW, AEW, WWE, Impact, the Indies, and even the juggalos that wrestle in the backyard next door to your cousin's house. Pick up a copy of the latest WrestleVoid at these fine retailers in the Cleveland area.
WrestleVoid is currently available at the Loop in Tremont. That's the Loop in Tremont.
And I know what you're thinking. God damn it, I don't even live in Cleveland. Well, guess what, you little bitch? They're online at WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com. Or on Twitter at WrestleVoid, or on Facebook. You can even hit up El Hordano on Instagram and ask him to send you one and see magnificent candid shots of what wrestling shirt he's wearing that day. Are you gonna stick to the dirt sheets? Fuck you! Does your wife not want you buying wrestling zines? Divorce her! Do your kids think you're too old for wrestling? Kill them! Do all your friends think that WrestleVoid isn't a legitimate publication? Sacrifice their soul to Satan. Pick up your copy of WrestleVoid today and follow the void.
And we are back to the one, the only Cleveland's greatest wrestling punk rock podcast. It is the one, the only Fatitude Era. Your host, Jackknife Jeff Smith, joined by El Hordano Diablo and Dr. Dewey Dynamite. And guess what, folks? I think it's time for another question.
All right. So we got another question from my co-editor-in-chief, who does most of the work for WrestleVoid. If you don't know about WrestleVoid, you can hit up WrestleVoid.BigCartel.com.
Yep, you just heard a commercial about it, so.
We've got another book in the works. We have like three in the works. They come out every other month, so make sure you pick them up. They're lots of fun. So we got actually quite a few questions from old Hobo Chef Ramsey Gravy. The first one. The second one, which is what we're going to go into first. This is going to chat my ass. Sting versus The Undertaker.
Do I sense something coming?
You might. You might.
There it is.
All right, so this is something that has been discussed for 20 years. 20 years ago, it would have been the best idea of all time. Or would it have been? Because guess who would have won?
Undertaker.
The Undertaker would have won.
Yeah.
10 years ago, they could have done it. guess who would have won?
Undertaker would have won.
They're talking about doing it now. And guess who's going to win?
Undertaker.
Yeah. So explain to me how you have the two biggest franchise players of all time. Like, you know, obviously there's Austin, but like when you talk franchise wrestlers, there's three dudes that come to mind. Ric Flair, even though he was in both, but he was a WCW, NWA, I will consider him the NWA guy. Sting and fucking Undertaker, who basically spent almost his entire career in WWE.
Yeah.
And it could have been done so many cool ways. The fact that, how old's Sting now? 55, 56?
Yeah, give or take.
Okay, so he's pushing 60. And it's been proven that guys can still go at a later age, you know, without all the painkillers and fucking all the coke that was running around in the 80s and 90s. Sure, it's still going around, but it's not clearly as prevalent as it once was.
Yeah. It's not cool to do coke anymore.
Well, I mean, depends on who you ask. But I don't see, like, at first I heard it was going to be what's the new Saudi one?
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel, whatever the next one's coming up.
Next one I think is Super Showdown.
Okay. So
the Eye of Isis.
Yeah. the first place I had heard is that they were going to do it there, which it's like, if we learned anything from the last one, or the one before, whenever Goldberg and fucking Undertaker almost died.
Yeah.
We don't need to be doing this shit. Undertaker does not need to be performing at a high level. The only reason he looked good in his last match was because Roman carried him the entire time.
Agreed.
In that tag match, Roman carried him.
Just seriously, like, let the dude go.
Yeah, let the dead man die. And yeah. I don't mean that, and that's not disparaging to Mark Calloway. He has one of the greatest legacies. What I worry most about him is his legacy is going to be tarnished.
Well, yeah, because he'll die in the fucking ring.
Yeah, and so here's my thing with Sting and Undertaker. Like I said, 10 years ago, it could have even been good. Even with Sting losing, it could have been good. But it really fucking chaps my ass that, like, now that WWE took a huge major stock hit, they're going to try and book this fucking match, and somebody's liable to get hurt. I mean, have you seen Sting versus fucking Seth Rollins at Night of Champions?
Yeah, I watched it live.
That's him working with regardless of how you feel about Seth Rollins or not, a very good talent, a very good hand in the ring, and he got fucking hurt, man.
Yeah.
And that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Let alone now he's going to get into a ring with a guy the same age. What are they going to do? Work like fucking, what are those punching Rock'em Sock'ems? Like, are they going to fucking do that? Or are they going to throw like the fucking wrestler pillows? Is that what it's going to look like? It's going to be fucking embarrassing, regardless if it's at WrestleMania or Super Showdown or fucking some Outlaw Mud Show, which would actually probably be pretty fun because somebody might die.
Right.
That would be pretty cool. But like, you have, okay, so like, Sting is the dead man of WCW, basically. Unless you count, what was Dustin Rhodes' gimmick?
That was seven.
Seven. Oh, so bad. No offense, Dustin, just met you. Great guy. Love him. And The Undertaker, who's notoriously the dead man, even when he was that shitty biker gimmick, it was dead man ain't dead man walking.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Yeah, dude, don't out-sing Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not as worked up about this, but it fucking bums me out because this is the way I would do it. Like, they don't need to have a match. They can have a moment. And if we've learned anything about the last 10 years, the only thing that matters at WrestleMania anymore are moments. WrestleMania moments.
Then, now, forever.
Forever. Then, now, depends on how many benzos I took. So, this is how I would do it. WWE, book it better, because I'm a smartass. Welcome back, Autumn Blompiade. We love you, dude. Watch Wrestle Talk because he's going to be doing top 10 lists and fantasy bookings again, and he is the forefront of all YouTube wrestling, and he was the man and still is. Anyway, this is the way I would do it, and it doesn't take much. Lament fantasy booking.
Right.
So the way I would do it is I would have Sting come out, you know, unannounced, in the middle of the show, just like they always do with somebody. I would have Sting come out with the bat, full gear, you know, comes out, everybody's going nuts. Give him a minute to soak it in, you know. has a mic, starts talking about his legacy and how he never thought that he would be, you know, standing and, you know, 80,000 people, blah, 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 much like so-and-so did or so-and-so did. All these legends, this, that, the other thing. And I never quite got to do the one thing I wanted to do. Lights go out. Dong.
Yeah.
Fucking Undertaker makes his way to the ring. They just stare each other down for like a good minute and a half. And kind of do like the Austin or Rock Hogan thing.
Okay.
Kind of back and forth. People would be going berserk.
Yeah.
And then they just...
There'd be this is awesome chance like a motherfucker.
Yeah. And then one of them just reaches out their hand and they shake hands. Lights go out. They're both gone. And that's how you end both of their careers.
Oh, that'd be pretty sick.
That's how you end both of their careers. They both went on an amazing note. Everybody kind of got what we always wanted, was just a moment between those two, because you got to do that. You have to do that. It just makes sense. And that's and if it were up to me, that's the way I would do it. Lights go down, bats in the ring.
Yeah.
Hats in the ring.
Yeah.
And done.
And you know what? Would you end the show like that?
Yeah. That's the way WrestleMania ends that year.
I'd be down with that.
That's like, and you know, I try not to fantasy book, but like to me, somebody who's been watching my entire life, that would mean something. I would never forget that.
All right, now let's be
never forget.
Now let's be real, right? We know that it's going to happen, and that Undertaker's going over. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So WWE is going to be.
all right, fuck, God damn it. Okay, so. Triple H versus fucking Sting. Why did Triple H need to win that match? Answer, he didn't, so don't even bother. Two, why did the NWO come out to back Sting? He was their main enemy. And so DX decides to come out just for a fight? Like, I'm all for gangland warfare, but get me New Jack. I want New Jack coming through with, like, a fucking... I don't know. What's something sharp? I want to know. You want to know what I want? Wait, is Mass Transit dead? That kid died, didn't he?
No, he didn't die.
He didn't die?
No.
Not there, but is he not? He's still alive?
I think so.
Okay, well, I want New Jack bringing out Mass Transit with a fucking dog collar, like crawling like a fucking dog, and then... The ghost of Balls Mahoney. I'm going to fantasy book what an ECW WrestleMania would look like. I'm going to get to work on that for maybe not next week's episode, but soon.
Yeah.
And we will discuss it.
All right.
Was that a good enough lament?
Yes, it was. That has been this week's Hordano's Lament. I loved it. Drew, you got anything to say?
Nope, I'm all good here.
Fucking
all
right. Bullshit!
Fucking bullshit!
All right. So moving on, folks, it is time to break out the popcorn because it is time for the return.
The podcorn?
Yeah, the podcorn. It is time for
boom.
The...
Oh, not that corn. Yeah. Not corn with a K.
Yeah.
Twisted turns a star.
All right. Well, it's time to bring back a segment from the old days. That's right. It is the one segment where we don't talk anything wrestling related necessarily, but this is kind of wrestling related. There's a wrestler in it.
Well, you know,
it.
I'm excited oh, yes. about it.
Yeah. Of course, Hordano's excited about it because why wouldn't he be? But definitely get excited, folks, because
can I spoil it or should we wait?
Wait.
Okay.
Wait for it.
Right. And it is time for the one, the only Fatty Flick.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
It's Fatty Flack. Movie opinions no one asked for. It's Fatty Flack. From a bunch of idiots who barely know what they're talking about. It's Fatty Flack. You can find a better opinion literally on IMDb. It's Fatty Flack. Today we're talking movies today. It's Fatty Flack.
That's right, folks. It is Fatty Flicks, where we take the time to take a look at cinema Marvel's, literally sometimes Marvel movies, maybe eventually at some point, but movies.
Well, Thor was in it.
Yeah, this is very true. Thor was in it. So,
and I will get there, but that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah, technically, it's a Marvel movie. And also,
yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's technically a wrestling movie because there's a wrestler in it, but
I mean, I'll allow it.
Yeah. But today we are talking about the return of Kevin Smith's Viewisk Universe. We are talking about the one and only Jay and Silent Bob reboot. That's right. The amazing story that's been done before.
By that guy.
Yeah. And
with those characters.
And you might be thinking, why exactly are we covering this movie? And I'll tell you why. It's because the reason we're involved with this whole podcasting thing has a lot to do with the one, the only Kevin Smith.
I'd say most. I mean, the biggest reason, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we Hordano and I both are, you know, we're avid listeners of Smodcast, Tell 'em Steve Dave. I don't know if Hordano listens to I Sell Comics, but I do. I mean, I enjoy
Ming and Mike.
Hey, I like Mike.
Mike's Mike got mad at me last time I was at the Stash because Brian Walt weren't there, so I turned around to Mike and I did the ant thing to him, and I turned around. And I turned around, and he was like mocking me behind my back, and I caught him. He was like, and I was like, "You are the same guy you are on TV, you little bitch."
Right. Yeah, but also
Mike's a nice guy, though. He was really cool to talk to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping to interview him at some point. I think that would be fun, but maybe not on this show. Maybe on my after show.
I don't think he'd have any interest in being on this show.
This is what you think, but yeah. All in all, it's a good time, and definitely. Definitely honed a lot of our sense of humors with watching the Viewisk Universe as we were growing up. So
Mallrats is the reason I am the way that I am, and I say that with no joking in my voice.
Yeah, he has a small little Dixie cup that he's drinking out of right now and everything.
I fuck people in very uncomfortable places.
In the back of a Volkswagen?
Hey, Jordan, would you like a chocolate-covered pretzel?
You know what's funny is I quoted that yesterday. I saw some kid. I was walking out of the pharmacy, and I saw some kid with his hand down his ass crack, was clearly scratching his ass. And I just thought of the Brody thing where he's like, where T.S. says to him, "You know what you look like, grown man with his hands on his pants?" He's like, "Yeah, I probably look like my old man."
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, it is the return of the Viewisk Universe. Now, keep in mind, I never thought this movie would happen,
even when
it was announced.
Yeah, neither did
because I. Kevin Smith has a long history of unrealized projects.
Not always his fault, though.
Not always his fault. Sometimes it's because he can't get the rights. Sometimes it's because, you know, the people pull out and everything like that. Very infamously, just recently, Howard the Duck, he was supposed to do a TV show for Hulu about Howard the Duck. Hulu pulled out, so they abandoned any idea for that. And even Mallrats 2 was supposed to happen, and then it was going to happen.
I heard that that and Clerks 3 are on the table again because of the success of...
Well, no, because what it... Mallrats had nothing to do with Kevin or anything like that. What it had to do with was none of the networks wanted it. Basically, because he was going to do Mallrats 2 as a TV show.
Yeah, it was supposed to be HBO, right?
Well, they were shopping it to Netflix, Showtime, Hulu, and Amazon Prime. Nobody bought it. So that was just like the end of it.
You'd think with all the bullshit shows all those companies do buy.
Right, exactly. But I mean, like they literally give, like, YouTubers shows on Netflix, so I don't get it. But yeah, so when Clerks 3 was originally announced, that was going to be his last film, and he was going to do it and everything like that. Then he made Tusk, and that led to a planned trilogy, which only two movies have come out so far. Moose Jaws is allegedly happening, we just don't know when. And Clerks 3 eventually was announced that it was canceled because Jeff Anderson didn't want to do it, which is understandable because he kind of got screwed out of money on Clerks 2. However, as time has passed, Jeff Anderson did get what he's owed, and he's back in. So
good. So, yeah, I mean, you can't do Clerks 3 without him.
Well,
so.
the new storyline for Clerks 3 is very much based on real life. It's going to be a story about Randall having a heart attack. And and then them filming a movie in the quick stop.
Oh, right on.
So basically, they're taking the plot of the planned animated movie Clerks Sell Out, which was originally going to happen before Clerks 2, that eventually got canceled by the Weinstein Company because Harvey Weinstein was too busy coming in a bush. that's right. I brought up Weinstein on the podcast.
Fuck that guy.
Exactly. Fuck him. So let's make fun of him. But yeah. So it eventually led to Clerks 3 getting canceled, Mallrats 2 being canceled, and Kevin realized that, hey, he has the rights to Jay and Silent Bob. He can do whatever the fuck he wants with them. So he decided to come up with this idea for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which is very much a direct sequel to, technically speaking, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but also Clerks 2 as well, yeah. because the events of Clerks 2 are referenced and everything like that. But it is a story about Jay and Silent Bob, now in their late 40s, learning that their Blunt Man and Chronic franchise is being rebooted as Blunt Man v. Chronic. And they decide to journey out to Hollywood to stop it again. But on the way, they realize Jay has a long-lost estranged daughter with Shannon Elizabeth's character, Justice, who you saw in Strike Back. You didn't see her in Clerks 2. There was a reference to her
this
in Clerks
This is like 3. Trying to explain like the first fucking three phases of the Marvel movies. Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, and keep in mind, if you haven't seen this movie, you can check it out. It's on Amazon Prime and, you know, all the home media and stuff like that. You can check it out now. This is not going to be spoiler-free. We are going to go into some spoilers and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, if you want to watch it, it's out there. If you don't want to watch it because you saw Yoga Hosers and you're just like, I'm done with Kevin Smith, I can't blame you. But, you know, but yeah, moving on. Let's get into it. So, gentlemen, we've all watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off with Drew. Drew, what is your thoughts?
I absolutely loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Because you said... you asked me to give it a rating out of 5. I gave
Wait, hold on. Wait for the rating.
Okay.
The rating comes at the end.
Okay.
Drew's still learning. But yeah, so what parts did you like about it?
I mean, all the references, the cameos, especially at the end, you know, the scene where you know, Kevin Smith kind of like filmed with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, when he was himself.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's referring to the Stan
in the credits.
Yeah, the Stan Lee bit.
That was
which,
awesome.
To me, you know, because I saw that interview way back in the day. You know, because mm-hmm. he that was his big thing. He was on the IMDb boat all the time. So him being on it again and everything like that, he interviewed Stan Lee, and mm-hmm. that's where they got that footage. So. But it was nice that they put him in there. And also, if you look in the background, you also see in Brody's comic book shop, there's a big, big like shrine to Stan, which I thought was really cool. It's got mm-hmm. like his glasses, his T-shirt, everything like that. And but yeah, all in all, it was definitely a nice surprise to have that piece of footage in there because mm-hmm. you know because Stan Lee agreed to do Mallrats 2, but then Mallrats 2 didn't happen.
Right.
So then he agreed to do Reboot, but then he passed away. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what else did you enjoy?
The scene that stuck out for me was probably one of Jordan's favorites was the whole thing with
the Klansman.
Yeah, the Klansman and Chris Jericho as the leader of the Klansman.
The best part of the movie.
You really think that?
No, it's not the actually no. I have two favorite parts. I'm going to keep my thoughts brief on it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good. If it were to bookend the entire VSQ universe, I think it was a good way to end it. I feel like there are more stories to tell, and I feel like he could do that. If not, I'm okay with it. I'll be happy to rewatch that movie many times in my life.
Yeah, okay.
I dug it. I went in thinking, okay, I know I'm going to like this because of nostalgia and this, but I legitimately enjoyed it. I thought it paid a lot of movies he's a fan of, homages and stuff.
Very, very much so. My favorite scene is indeed the Klansman scene, just because he very spot on does an imitation of Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, like, you know, when he walks up, he's like, "Your name's Legree. You call yourself a Klansman, you son of a bitch." You know what I mean? Stuff like that. That whole sequence, I was just dying laughing because he literally channeled Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like everything from like the, are they all here? I'm going anyway. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's notoriously a big fan of that movie. So like that was good.
Who isn't? Yeah. I love that film.
It's a great movie.
That is literally one of the best character pieces out there. But all in all, if you want to know my thoughts on it, I had some issues with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And okay, so number one, I love meta humor, but I have a limit. And there were some moments that were just way too meta for me. You know what I mean? Like everything from like the when they walk into the Clerks reunion and they turn black and white and stuff like that. Like I giggled at first, but then I was just like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, I kind of had the same thing, but it was such a quick little shot that I was like, yeah, whatever.
But my whole thing, okay, so. There was a couple of more, you know, another bunch of issues I had, which, okay, number one, we didn't have, I'm surprised we didn't have Chris Rock in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have been
yeah.
it would have been great as if instead of Kevin Smith directing the reboot, Chaka came
but
back.
I like how he did do the same, like he played the Chris Rock character, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, like that was good, but the one thing that I also didn't understand, where was Ethan Suplee?
That was another thing. I looked him up after the fact, and I didn't realize he got, like, jacked.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But, like, my whole thing is he's not really doing much these days, and Kevin has to see him at conventions. There would have been something where he could have filmed something for it. You know what I mean?
Dietrich Bader was a nice touch.
That was a nice touch, but it was definitely too short, in my opinion. Because, like, and I think it would it really bummed me that they didn't make reference to the fact that he saw them 20 years ago on the Miramax lot.
Like, are you going to suck his dick now?
Right, or something like that.
Or, like, something like, you want to have a tea party?
Right.
Like, something like, stupid like that would
right.
be funny.
Yeah, okay. Number two, so like I said, the meta humor was kind of an issue. Another thing, why was Scott Mosier only in one little cutaway shot? Like
Scott Mosier's a busy guy now, dude.
I know, but
he fucking is making multi-million-dollar pictures.
I know, but like that's the thing. Even him playing a Willem Black, just like in the background somewhere, just have him hanging out in front of the Quick Stop.
You know how much I love Scott Mosier. Like,
yeah.
I would have loved to have him more in it, but like. He has been busy since before that Grinch movie fucking came out.
But, like, that's the thing. Scott Mosier is in it for a blink and you'll miss it second. And it's just like I missed it on my first, like, viewing.
I think we'll get more Scott and Kevin in the future.
I hope so. I genuinely hope so. Number two, I'm sorry, but I get it, you know, it's his daughter and, you know, and everything like that. But I really don't like Harley Quinn as an actress.
I think she's all right. She's young. She still needs to find her. She's just playing herself now.
Yeah, but like that's my thing. And like to make her an integral part. Like that's the thing. I didn't like it in Yoga Hosers. I didn't like it in his segment.
I didn't like Yoga Hosers at all.
There's no defending that movie. That movie's terrible. Yeah, really was. But like my whole deal is like, I really just. She's such an integral part of the plot, and it's just like you're constantly having to deal, and you're just like.
But there was some really, really sweet moments with her and Jay.
Yeah, and that's one thing I do have to give credit for. Jay's acting in this movie. That the moment where she's like, okay, well, we're going to go get her in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is where we part ways. And he has that line where he's like, some asshole really missed out on being your dad.
Yeah.
Like, and he's got that tear in his eyes and his voice is quivering and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, you have come so far.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of acting. And it's crazy just to see how far he's come. It's just a shame that it took 40 years
to get
there.
Eat a dick, Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, well, whatever.
Yeah. Like, my whole deal is, as much of, like I said, the meta humor definitely brought it down for me. Because I liked it to a point, but then it got to be too much. The convention scene specifically got to be a little too much for me. I will say I loved seeing Affleck.
Oh yeah, he was great.
That
dude.
But like that moment where him and Kevin have that hug, and he's like, first off, how are you? Good to see you. And like if it's like that, I'm like, that is a genuine goddamn moment right there.
Yeah.
Like my whole deal is, I'm so glad he's in it.
Yeah, me too.
And
Damon's thing.
Yeah,
as Loki was awesome.
You just got touched by an angel, son.
Like just the fact that like these Oscar-winning dudes. Didn't forget where they came from,
yeah.
And they're like, you know, because you know they make the joke in Chance on the Bob Strike Back, like
sometimes you do the thank you picture because your friend says you owe them,
and then they, you know, wink. I thought that was good. I love the whole thing. I really did. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I have a copy of it. I will rewatch it many times.
Yeah, don't regret buying it.
No,
but I just like my whole thing is like, and that's another thing. When we got to as much as I love seeing Affleck. When we got to the Holden part, and he's going on about, like, once you have a kid, you're no longer the star, you're the stage, and everything like that. That really felt like it was pulled from another movie. And what I mean is it feels like it was pulled from the original draft of Clerks 3. Like, I feel like that's a conversation that Dante was supposed to have with somebody.
Yeah.
Because Dante, you know, at the end of Clerks 2, he has a kid on the way. So when the Clerks 3 was originally supposed to be out in like 2013, that would have been, you know, another 7 years. The kid would have been 7 years old.
I have 3 points I want to make about the movie. My 3 favorite things about the movie. Jericho as the leader of the Klansmen was fucking hilarious.
Who the fuck are Midget Murray?
That was basically an homage to Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Second, Chris Hemsworth as the hologram of Chris Hemsworth when he's like, please don't touch the hologram.
You burn your dick off.
Yeah. Please don't fuck the hologram. Like that, like Chris Hemsworth is so charming and has such, he is so underratedly funny. And then the third was at the end with Harley, Bob, and Jay. And there's gum in the locks, and he goes, we've been putting gum in the locks for 25 years. Well, and I fucking lost it.
Well, and that was another thing. One line I really enjoyed was right at the beginning where the police are handcuffing Dante, and he goes, is this about Randall? I can tell you where he is. You know what I mean? Like my whole deal is, like, the moments like that, I was just laughing really hard. And, like, seeing Ralph Garman as the guy that they steal the credit card from, it was really nice. Brian Quinn as I got a question for the real Blunt Man in Chronic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really great.
Quinn in there was nice.
The comic book men.
Like, I mean, it was Kevin Smith's love letter to his life and his friends, and I liked that.
Yeah, and having Logan Lee Muse play the Holden's daughter.
I think this is the most positive I've ever been on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and all like I said, it got brought down a few points for me, but it's definitely not as bad as Yoga Hosers, not as good as something like Dogma or even Clerks 2. Mm-hmm. But I would say that, you know, as far as a rating goes, and I think it's time to get to the ratings. I think we've covered the movie effectively. Yeah. Drew, what would you give it out of 5 hoagies?
I am like very easily amused, so I give it a solid 5.
He's a simpleton.
Yeah.
All right, so you're giving it a 5 hoagie. Okay, now, Hordano, go ahead.
I'm giving it 5 hoagies with a bag of chips and drink combo.
Okay. And me personally, on this inaugural comeback episode of Fatty Flicks, I am giving this one a 3 hoagie out of 5.
3 hoagies is good.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't enough to ruin the movie for me. It just brought it down a few pegs.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't regret buying it. I don't regret owning it. I'm still a fan of Kevin Smith. I'm still very hopeful for Clerks 3. And, you know, me personally, I feel like it was a clear sign that maybe the Clerks 3 we're going to get is actually going to be on the level of Clerks 2. Or Clerks 1.
I'll leave it with this, and maybe we can take another question, but I'm going to catch shit for this. I think if he continues his career well into his, you know, in the next 20 years or so, he's kind of going to be our generation's Mel Brooks.
Okay. My whole deal is, this is my thing, okay? If you're going to, like, putting meta humor in Jay and Silent Bob reboot is fine. But don't do it with Clerks 3.
I don't think you will. I think that's going to be a way more down-to-earth movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, because the Clerks movies, as much of, you know, a character pieces that they are, you know, he wrote Clerks when he was working as a clerk. He wrote Clerks 2 when he was dealing with, like, the mild success that he'd gotten.
He's always said that, like, I remember when he was writing Clerks 3, he said, Clerks is about being in your 20s, Clerks 2 is about being in your 30s, and Clerks 3 is about being in your 40s.
Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, like, at the end of the day, I'm definitely hopeful for Clerks 3. It's fine if you want to throw the meta humor in Jay and Silent Bob reboot, because realistically, you know,
that's where it has its place.
Well, yeah, and because Strike Back was very meta. It just
exactly.
wasn't that meta,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all in all, 3 out of 5 hoagies from me. So that brings it to an average of 4 out of 5 hoagies, because 3 and 5s. But, yeah.
Would have been more if it was at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
And just want to say this, Jason Lee going on about Marvel movies was pretty fucking great.
That was pretty good.
I jerk off to those movies and I come twice as hard while doing it.
Anything Jason Lee does is fine with me, aside from Scientology.
Yeah, and if you want to see a more in-depth review that I did, go on to the Acclaim and Shame Letterboxd page, where I post reviews of movies that I'm watching. I did a nice little review of that on there, in which I kind of put out my gripes, but at the same time, also one more thing, the editing felt a little off. Some of the lines felt like they let, like, the shot lasted like a half second too long.
I would say I feel like they shot way more for that movie than actually made it in the movie.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if they would have cleaned up the editing, that probably would have brought it to a 4 for me. But but yeah, I got to stick with a 3. I definitely am not ashamed to have it in my collection. I'd be ashamed if I had yoga hosers in my collection, but you know.
It's on Netflix. I don't need it to be in my collection.
I mean, realistically, I'll probably end up getting it for a cheap as hell price, if anything.
Like,
the
special features are good, sure.
I mean, if I can find it for like, you know, $4 or $5, that's one thing. But I'm not paying $20 for an autographed copy from Kevin Smith. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely not.
The movie's not worth that much. All right, so we are going to be right back to finish up this episode here, right after these messages.
This Sunday, you are not prepared for what's about to happen in downtown. Your eyes will melt as Bobby Fischer goes off against Igor Kerensky at the National Chess Championship.
The National Chess Championship is organized and brought to you in HD.
With HD, it will melt your face.
All people in attendance will be getting 3 enormous chess pieces to commemorate the event. Listen to Bobby's interview before the event.
Hey, yeah, I'm just gonna, like, try the best. I really, like, respect Igor and...
Oh my god!
He's gonna destroy him!
His spine will be ripped out from his eye socket!
There's no way any of them is going to survive this event!
Pay extra tickets to sit in the Splash Zone!
The Splash Zone is where we're gonna hear all of the disgusting bone-ripping sounds and get covered in blood!
Here's a short interview of Igor smack-talking Bobby!
Bobby is very good it's nice.
Oh my god!
It's going to be a meltdown! Get your tickets now!
Before they sell out!
It's gonna be a checkmate!
We're gonna finish it off by finishing off the questions we got, and we're gonna answer them to the best of our ability.
Well, we've actually got quite a few. We answered one of Gravy's already, the Sting and Undertaker thing. So I think we will save some of Gravy, because he's sent in quite a few. I'll ask one more of his, just because it made me laugh. How much fish can Bobby Fish fry? I thought that was pretty funny. So there's that one.
All right. So the answer for that one, in my opinion, is 37.
It's good. In a row? So we will do more Gravy questions on the next one. I'm sure he'll have more. He has other ones that are just going to half of Gravy's questions are just going to turn into me lamenting, just for the record, because one of them is about Lacey Evans. I won't bring this up. Zach Schildwachter, one of my best friends, and co-director of Powerbomb and Sickening Pictures, all that jazz. He brought up a very, very good thing that I guess we can tease for another episode. An all-black pay-per-view and how we would book it.
Ooh.
So that gives us some time and research to do.
All right, number one, hosted by Hulk Hogan.
No, it's got to be hosted by Tony Atlas.
Right.
So, Zach, we will cover that in the future. I think it's too late to get into that.
It's going
to
be really awkward when two white guys with shaved heads book an all-black pay-per-view.
All-black pay-per-view. Michael Jackson versus Uncle Ruckus.
With Fred Sanford as the referee.
You big dummy. All right, so we'll save some of Gravy's, we'll save Zach's. So let's end it on this one. This will be fun for all of us, and then we can call it quits for the evening. This comes from good friend Tracy Baker, a big longtime friend of Let the Hate Flow Through You, has become my friend, has spent many nights in Cleveland here. I love her, wanted to move here. She came up with top 3 wrestlers you would want to be stranded on an island with.
Okay. All right. Now, on this island, are they going to be performing?
No. Think Castaway.
Think Castaway. So it's me and a volleyball and then 3 wrestlers.
You can have the volleyball if you want to.
I'm just saying, he's Wilson, man. Okay.
Wilson!
Number one, living or dead?
Doesn't matter.
All right. Since we're doing that, Roddy Piper, Terry Funk, Jericho.
Why?
The stories they could tell would make me not care that I'm on a desert island.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. How about you?
For me, it'd be...
And Jericho could sing for me.
Owen Hart, British Bulldog, and Bruno Sammartino.
Ghost Island.
The island of dead wrestlers.
Why?
Oh, just because, I mean, Bruno, for obvious reasons,
right.
You know, would have loved to meet him.
He just wants to mark the fuck out for the rest of his life until starvation gets them all.
Bulldog, because I do think that, you know, he was definitely one of the most underrated people ever, you know, in WWE.
Sure.
And, you know, Owen, because of, like, I watched the Owen Hart DVD that came out, you know, just because he can be so much fun. You know, he was a, you know...
Practical Joker.
Yeah, Practical Joker backstage.
Make
and all
you
that.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured it's because he's not scared of heights. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You finish it off, Ardano.
I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes. MJF. And Roddy Piper.
I feel like I feel like MJF and Piper would just have like a promo off.
That's exactly why I want it to happen.
Just because you want to hear the rebuttals back and forth.
I'd just be like, well, can I podcast this?
I just want to point out that he didn't put Jericho on that list.
I did not. I did not.
But that's the thing. While you're on the middle of the island, he can give you
a little bit of the bubbly.
But in all seriousness, yeah, I think that's a good question to end it on. Seriously,
Good.
And we got my we already know my lament for next week.
Yeah, and just
we'll save it.
And just for the record, if you guys want to answer that question, maybe we'll read out some fan answers on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
As far as what three wrestlers would you want to be stuck on a desert island with? And keep in mind, you had food, you would be surviving. You just couldn't make any contact with the outside world to get rescued. So, you know, everything like that. Don't worry about, like, I'd have Andre the Giant there, and then I'd kill him and eat his body. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's what it is.
All right, folks. Well, it is going to be that time on the Fatitude Era. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me at RevJess_FL Radio on Twitter. You can check out my official network Twitter at FatLulzRadio. Be sure to check out my Edgy Boy content show, The Church Absurd with Reverend Justin Deacon Sam, as well as the Fickle Fanboy Pop Culture Podcast, where I'm second mic. And if you're looking to talk more movies, if Fatty Flix isn't doing it for you, Acclaim and Shame, where RPM and I look at two movies, one that is critically acclaimed, one that is critically reviled, and determine if the critics are right. Where can they find you, Hordano?
At El Hordano Diablo on Instagram and Twitter. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I mean, I'm on Facebook, but I'm not on there. So good luck. And also at Above Below ENT.
The lovely network that we are on.
And at Russell Void.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow the Void. And Drew, where can they find you?
You can find me at Twitter at AllElite76. And on Facebook at Dewey Evans.
Yep, just look for the picture of a sports team that is not an Ohio sports team.
Right. Oh, except during college football season, you know, go Bucks.
Yeah. You sell out.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong team.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you very much for listening, folks. And as always, you know, we say fuck Jim Cornette now because we don't like him anymore. So we're going to end it with a good old fashioned.
Give me a hell yeah. I said, give me a hell yeah!
Credits.
Rick and Justin on the company dime. Fuck you guys! I had a good time! Promo tripping! Roy should try! Fuck you guys! I had a good time! Hit a school up, kill the kids inside! Fuck you guys! I had a good time! I play dead, no need to hide! Fuck you guys!
This has been a Fat Lulz Radio and Above Below Entertainment production under the umbrella of Lousy Weather Media. Check out more shows at lousyweathermedia.com.
Yes, yes, indeed. And, you know, we'll come back to that. Well, hold on. He's coming back now. Stop peeing in the middle of the podcast. All right, so Drew has just brought up the Klansman scene.
Did you already bring it up? Bring it up?
No. Okay. Well, I paused because you were in the bathroom.
The best part of the movie.
You really think that?
No, it's not the